Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Hello and welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Obviously, I was right in my prediction. Normally, this is a Welsh show today, but the Welsh is still very, very sick. In fact, he said that he cannot speak at all. He said everything else feels okay, but he couldn't even go into his job today because he physically couldn't speak to anyone. You should find him on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh, and send him something weird, like a MySpace bouquet of flowers, or chicken noodle soup, or something like that make him feel better. That, once again, that is at IsItTheWelsh, and I think it would be hilarious if he was just flooded with all kinds of well wishes tomorrow on Twitter, because I talked about him here. By the way, on Twitter, at NBA Sound System, at FNTSY Radio for those as well. So, you know, Monday, a great day. Unlike the weekend where the Rockets lost, I was aggravated with Steph Curry. Much better day today. The Rockets win. Watched a little bit of the national title game as well. Saw Clemson beat Alabama. Always funny to see Nick Saban lose. So today was a good day, my friends. But wasn't a good day for Derrick Rose, and I'll tell you why. Number one, a coach that he admires and he respects was let go, of course. Yesterday, Tom Thibodeau was fired, and we were all very, very surprised by that. I even said it yesterday in jest that I don't know how the rotations are going to work out with Ryan Saunders taking over. Which, by the way, Ryan Saunders is freakishly young. I know he's the interim head coach for the Wolves, but he is... Who was it? I think it was ESPN. Let me look real quick. SB Nation said that Ryan Saunders is younger than 42 active NBA players. That is 2.5 teams. Oh, almost 3 full teams that he is younger than. He is 32 years old, which, I mean, makes me feel completely inadequate, of course, because I am older than Ryan Saunders. But hey, I'm here talking to you guys, so it's not all bad for me. But anyway... Ryan Saunders takes over. Derrick Rose was with Tibbs in Chicago, and then when he made his career after, you know, his injuries and all that stuff, everyone used to make fun of him, you know, with the memes. My favorites personally were General Soreness with Derrick Rose, and I like the Mr. Glass one. Those are my two favorite Derrick Rose memes. But he's beyond that now. And, you know, look, everyone gets a little ribbing online. Not a surprise, but he's beyond that now. He's been incredible this season. One of the leading all-star vote-getters, and he's not a big social media guy, as he pointed out. He said, it's all love. And, you know, he came back, and a lot of people attributed him coming back to Tibbs. He doesn't really agree with that. And so when he was being interviewed today, he made a comment that he will really regret. I'll just read it to you here. He said, I have a lot of confidence in myself. Tibbs was just the coach that believed in me. He jump-started my career again, and for that, I'll always be thankful. But for everybody that thinks that it's going to stop, kill yourself. It is only January 8th as of today, and we have the most cringeworthy comment of the year already made by our guy Derrick Rose. And obviously he doesn't literally mean this. I think, you know, it's a slang term that, you know, kill yourself, you know, that's a jokey thing that people say to each other, kill yourself, you know. It's a terrible thing to say. It's not something anyone should say, but obviously he doesn't mean it literally. And the bad part, the worst part about this was he said it again later. Before I think he could sit and listen to himself actually say this, he said, like I said, for everybody that thinks I'm not going to play the same way, kill yourself, because I believe in myself. Now, he did go on Twitter And this is exactly what he said. I messed up by using the slang term kill yourself today in response to a question about whether I can continue to perform without Coach Tibbs. I did not mean it literally and regret using it, so I apologize. So I don't know really what else can be said about this. Hopefully this is the last we hear about this saying and this kind of thoughtless rant that we got from Derrick Rose, but it happened. He apologized, and hopefully we can move forward with it. So just weird stuff going on today. We also saw today on the other side of this Tibbs firing that Robert Covington found out that he was traded on social media. He didn't get called in by Brett Brown or Elton Brand until after he had already found out, which is a bad... that's a bad thing to do. Before any trade is announced or leaked or whatever, the player should know. So just weird stuff all the way around with Philly and Minnesota this year. It's like we had this offseason drama begin in Minnesota with Kat and Jimmy Butler, and it has carried on. It has carried on, and it's infected Philly. It's almost like 28 days later. It's this weird drama hitting all these teams. So very strange goings on today in the NBA with the Derrick Rose comments and then Robert Covington coming out with the trade stuff. I mean, the trade stuff isn't that bad, but it's bad protocol. I mean, these guys should know that they're traded before the rest of the world does. It's just the way it should work. How about a little retrospection with Udonis Haslem, who announced today that he is going to be retiring after the end of this season? I didn't realize that he has played 16 years in the NBA. I don't know why I didn't realize that. You know, he's been around for a long, long time. He's won 3 rings with the Heat. I mean, he goes back to the rings before LeBron when they won with Shaq. And I guess it's not that surprising. And he mentioned, you know, his son, he has a son that's playing college football at Toledo now. He has a son that is in travel basketball. He has a daughter that's in travel basketball now. So he says, you know, other things need my attention, clearly, and he hasn't played that much this season anyway, so it makes sense, but pretty damn good career for Haslem. He was a starting power forward for all of those teams that won championships, so, you know, good career for him. Obviously, he's not going to get the Dwayne Wade tour, especially since he just decided halfway through the year that he's going to retire, but sad to see him go, but he had a great career, for sure. I bet you guys are going to be surprised by this. Enes Kanter is involved in a little bit more drama. Now, this is kind of a weird story because we know he has fought with the president of Turkey. And, you know, I talked about it on yesterday's show about how he is fearful because he's afraid that he could be killed over there, quite frankly. I'm probably not qualified to talk about this, but because it involves two basketball people, I think I should talk about this. Hito Turkoglu is a chief advisor to the president of Turkey. I had no idea that that was his role now. And he is saying that Enes Kanter is involved in a smear campaign for the president of Turkey and that he actually, Kanter, has visa issues. And that is why he can't travel to London. Now, I do remember hearing about these visa issues because I think that maybe for a minute there was some drama over whether he could make a Raptors game a couple years ago, but I think that's been cleared up and Kanter went on Twitter and, you know, went on a rant and said, "You're lying, my visa's fine, I fear for my life," all that stuff. So it's just very weird. I mean, I'm clearly not qualified to talk about political things at all, and I would, you know, not try to bore you with that stuff anyway, but very weird, weird story. I mean, it's just a weird day for NBA news, I guess. How about some NBA news about some on-court stuff? Kevin Love, probably not going to return until after the All-Star break. I believe that I kind of predicted this earlier this season. It is unfortunate for Kevin Love because we talked about this yesterday. The trade deadline is February 7th, which is before the All-Star game. So, there doesn't seem to be much chance of him getting moved this season anyway. I mean, the Cavs said that they didn't want to move him, which kind of surprised me. I guess It's just really if they get a good enough offer. They saying that we don't want to move a guy means nah, we'll move him, but we have to be severely convinced to move him. So probably no Kevin Love moving this season and probably not back until after the All-Star game. And then we kind of found out some more stuff in this Chandler Parsons story that we talked about yesterday. It seems like the issue moving here is they want him to play in the G League. And he said, that's fine. I'll play in the G League, but I want you guys to tell me when I'm going to come back and play in the NBA. They refused to give him a hardline date. I believe the issue was his defense because he's been practicing in 5x5. He did the Jimmy Butler yelling at the GM. He yelled at Wallace. He said, let me play during a practice. So weird issues there as well. But so he is separated from the team, and we don't know when he's going to come back. But Chandler Parsons is owed a lot of money, so we'll see what winds up happening there. But how about some actual on-the-court game action, which is what we're here for anyway, right? Weird news over. Let's get to the hardwood. San Antonio won 119 on the road at Detroit 107. Pop tied Jerry Sloan for third on the all-time win list with 1,221 wins. He is now 111 wins behind Lenny Wilkins and 114 behind Don Nelson for the all four wins by a coach. Detroit actually jumped out early in this game. Pop had to take two quick timeouts in the first quarter, but after that, the Spurs went on a nice little 23-2 run, which was the big difference in this game, obviously. DeRozan just continuing his fantastic transition, moving from Toronto over to San Antonio, 26-7-9, 12 of 21 from the field in this game. LaMarcus Aldridge, 25 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. Derek White continues a nice little surge here, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and Brent Forbes, 15-4, and a steal with 3 three-pointers. Only two big producers for Detroit in this game. Blake Griffin, 34 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists with 2 three-pointers, and Andre Drummond, obviously, you know, just a double-double machine, 19-14, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block as well. In Boston, the Celtics win 116 over Brooklyn 95. Kyrie Irving returned after missing 2 games with the eye injury, and apparently, I guess I missed this somehow, he scratched both corneas. That must have been brutal. He must have been like those people in Bird Box. I don't know. I tell you what, I watched that movie. Not a fan. Not a fan of that movie. But I tell you what I do like. I do like all the memes. You know, we talked about the Derrick Rose memes a little bit earlier. I love those Bird Box memes, especially when they're involved in sports stuff. I don't know if you guys saw the NFL game with Cody Parkey missing the field goal, but the one with the Sandra Bullock on Cody Parkey's head. Pretty funny. I mean, it's an unfortunate situation, all that stuff. You feel bad for the kid, but that stuff's pretty funny. Anyway, out of the Bird Box, he rises, Kyrie Irving, and he had a great game in this one. The Nets just looked lackluster. They were playing on a back-to-back. They committed 11 turnovers in the first quarter. Just was all Boston. Irving, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 8 of 16 from the field. Jason Tatum, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 three-pointers. Al Horford, 12-9-5, a steal and a block. He was 6 of 7 from the field. And Hayward had been filling in pretty nice with Irving. This wasn't a bad game for him, but he had kind of raised the bar expectationally. And 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal and 2 three-pointers is not bad. But hopefully he gets a little bit more involved and starts to fit more because he really seems to be coming around. Hopefully he doesn't lose any momentum with Kyrie Irving coming back. On the Nets side, we had Karukas, 24 points, and a rebound and an assist and 5 three-pointers. You know, I tried to listen to how they pronounce his name like 16 times. I know I butchered that. I apologize. I am really bad at names. So I believe it's Karukas. I'm not sure. Kenneth Faried. I know I got that one right. 13 points, 12 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block. Shabazz Napier chipped in with 10 points, 5 boards, 6 assists, a steal and 2 blocks, 2 three-pointers as well. My boy Jared Allen Hookham, only 6 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal and a block, and Dinwiddie, 15 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a three-point made. New Orleans, 114 over Memphis, 95. 11 lead changes and 9 ties in this one. So, you know, a 19-point victory for the Pelicans, but it was played very close till the fourth quarter. I couldn't believe this when I read it, and I actually physically went looked to check to make sure it was right. This is the first 2-game win streak since November 19th for the Pelicans. They won 3 games in a row, and ever since then, they had, I believe, a 5-game losing streak, but they have not had back-to-back wins since November 19th. That was very surprising to me. The Pelicans are a good team. What are they doing not winning back-to-back games? Very, very shocking to me. But Anthony Davis in this game, 36 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Julius Randle, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Drew, 13, 4, 6, and 4 steals with 2 3-pointers. And Alfred Payton, 11, 3, 4 with 3 steals. I mean, Anthony Davis, I don't know if they're going to get the wins for him to win MVP since this is their first back-to-back win streak and since November, but that dude is absolutely dominating. And the Pelicans have said that they're going to do everything in their power to bring him back, whether that means, you know, signing free agents or throwing all the money they possibly can at him or whatever. They obviously really, really want him back. The Pelicans, I just want to check their record. They are 12th. They're 19-22, 3 games below 500. I knew that. I mean, I look at the standings every day. It's just surprising to me that they have played so bad. So, kind of snuck up on me. I thought that they were winning more games than that. So, Conley, 22, 2-10 with 2 steals. Jermichael Green, 16 points, 5 rebounds. Noah, 8, 8, 1, 2, and 1. How about the most important game of the day, folks? That's right. The Houston Rockets over the number one seed Denver Nuggets, 125-113. PJ Tucker set a career high with 7 3-points in this game. They also traded Michael Carter Williams. I don't know if you guys saw this. This was kind of a weird deal, but they traded Michael Carter-Williams and cash to the Bulls for a late pick. This is to get them out of the luxury tax stuff because they're going to have to trade back for, they're going to have to move some stuff around if they are going to be buyers at the deadline. Like we said, the deadline is a month away. So this is kind of a pre-move. Michael Carter-Williams got a little bit of run. Didn't really help. He's not a big three-point shooting guy. I always kind of thought, you know, I don't question Daryl Morey too much. I think he's a great GM, but I really didn't understand what this signing was supposed to do. He didn't really seem to fit. Obviously, they brought in Austin Rivers, and Michael Carter-Williams is basically history, and CP3 should be back at the end of this month. Fingers crossed there, but I don't know if you guys saw this, but and there will probably be a Bird Box meme of it later on today, but James Harden crossed over Jamal Murray so hard he made him eat it. I mean, it almost looked as bad as the Wes Johnson one from last year. So, crossover of the year, Jamal Murray, super, super embarrassing. So, I know I'm a James Harden homer, but I would say that if this was anyone. You know, if this was Irving crossing over whoever, it wouldn't matter. It was insane. You guys should go back and look at that highlight. A lot of fun to watch that stuff. Just to watch, it's like, it's like watching a master composer work, watching James Harden. So if I haven't sickened you guys yet, here are some stats from this game. 32 points for Harden, 5 rebounds, 14 assists, a steal and a block, 6 3-points made. Clint Capella, 31 points, 9, 2, and 2. By the way, the most assist by a player, one player to another in the league so far this year is Harden to Capella. PJ Tucker, 21 points, obviously all of them threes since he made 7 of them. Also had 4 steals and 2 blocks. Gerald Green, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 6 3-pointers for him. On the Denver Nuggets side, 24 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block for the Joker. Also chipped in a 3-pointer. That guy is really, really good. Gary Harris, 14, 4, and 2 with 2 3-pointers made. Jamal Murray, 13, 2, 4, 1 broken ankle. Malik Beasley, 14 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, and a steal with 2 3-pointers. And Monty Morris, 21, 3, 5, and 2 with a three-pointer made. Milwaukee, 114 over Utah, 102. Ricky Rubio injured his hamstring early in this one and did not come back, so we will have to stay updated to see how long he is going to miss with that injury. The Bucks have been without Dante DiVincenzo a couple games this season. He sat out this one with right ankle soreness. He said, Budenholzer said he didn't tweak it or anything, but it's kind of a chronic thing. So hopefully he gets some rest at the break or something, and we don't have to keep seeing this. But we'll see what happens with that. Season high, 15 points for Thon Maker. And GA, just another huge game. 30 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. That guy is so much fun to watch. Brogdon, 21-5-5 with a 3-pointer. Brook Lopez, 15 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, and 3 3-pointers. Chris Middleton, 14-7-5 with a steal and 2 3-pointers. On the Utah side, Donovan Mitchell leads in scoring here with 26 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 6 3-pointers made. Rudy Gobert, 14-15, another double-double for him. 3 assists, 2 steals on a block, filling up the stat sheet. Derek Favors doing the same thing here, 12-7-1-1, and 3 blocks. And Jay Crowder, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 3-pointers. Luke Walton said it last night that the Lakers need to play with more passion, and they responded. They beat Dallas 107-97 on the road, and that is only the fourth loss of the year for the Mavericks at home. It seems like ever since we mentioned this record, when I looked it up the other day and I saw that they had a great home-road split, weird home-road split where they can't win a game on the road and they can't lose a game at home. They have won games on the road and then lost games at home. So I feel like I have cursed the Mavericks at this point. So hopefully that's not the case, but that's what it is. 4 losses at home this whole year. This was one of them. This is only the second win for the Lakers without LeBron so far this year. Kuzma did come back after missing the past 2 games with a back bruise in this one. Ingram, big night here, 29 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Lonzo Ball also had a big night, 21-7, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 4 3-pointers. Josh Hart, another good night for him. This dude is line stacking. This guy is a fantasy darling right now. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. And Kuzma coming back at 13-5-3 with 2 3-pointers. Doncic on the Dallas side here. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block with 2 3-pointers. Double-double for DeAndre Jordan. Like Drummond, he usually does this. 10 points, 19 boards, 2 steals and 3 blocks. And Harrison Barnes, 11-4 with 2 steals and 2 3-pointers. Portland, 111 over the Knicks, 101. 4 straight games of 20 or more points for Nurkic. He is really picking it up. Obviously, this comes off the heels of just everything with Cantor is weird. None of it makes sense. Obviously, he has his visa stuff and going to London he's not going to do. That is coming up in, I think, 9 days as we're recording this. And they're talking about his limited role, and he keeps having big games, 18-14 in this game, 2 assists. So I hope that we can start more talking about Cantor with his on-court stuff than off-court stuff, because he is a great player. Lillard, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal, and 2 3-pointers. CJ McCollum, 17-3-2-1-1 with 2 3-pointers. Nurk had the 20-8, and Lehman, double-double, 10-10-4 assists. I already told you about Cantor on the Knicks side. Vonleh, 16-14-2. Moutier, 17-2-7-3. Hezonja, 14-7-1-3 steals. The last game of the night, we go to Sacramento, where they win 111-95 over Orlando. The Kings snapped a 4-game losing streak. They are now 20-20. They are 500, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, isn't the best record. It's a nice record. It has them one spot out of the playoffs right now behind the Lakers. They're a game and a half out at 20-20. The Lakers are 22-19. Portland is ahead of them. Houston, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, Golden State, and Denver obviously would be the playoff teams if the season ended right now. But just the improvement of Sacramento has been so much fun to watch and so impressive. I mean, seriously, you look at the numbers from last year and they are exponentially better this year. And it's just, you know, that team hasn't been really relevant since the Mike Bibby days. So it's nice to see them getting on a nice little roll here. Marvin Bagley came back after an 11-game absence in this game. De'Aaron Fox had a huge one, 23-2 with five steals. My cousin, Bogdanovich, he's not really my cousin, it's just Bogman Bogdanovich, you guys get it. 15 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, a steal, 3 three-pointers. Willie Cauley-Stein, double-double, 11-11 and 2 assists. Justin Jackson, 11-4-2 with 2 three-pointers. On the Orlando side, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block for Vucevic, filling up that stat sheet. Aaron Gordon was off on this one, only 3 of 13 from the field, 10 points, 9 boards, an assist and a steal, and Fournier 15-1-1 with 4 three-pointers. Let's go ahead and take a look at the Tuesday slate. We've got 8 games coming up tonight. Indiana at Cleveland, where the Pacers are favored by 10.5 points. I don't know that that's enough. I think you could possibly double that. I don't know what the largest spread has been this year. Actually, there's one that's way, way bigger tonight. I'm just looking ahead a little bit. There is an 18-point spread tonight in one of the games. I think that's probably more appropriate. Cleveland has been abysmal at home. It just doesn't seem to be getting any better for them. So I think Indiana easily covers his 10.5 points. Probably going to be playing pissed off after they lost that game in Toronto. Washington at Philly. There's no line here. Not sure why there's not a line here. But I think I'm going to have to take Philly at home in this game. No John Wall for the Wizards. They are banged up. They've been playing inspired ball without him, but I think I'm going to take Philly in that one. Denver on the road against Miami. Miami is favored by a point. Miami, that just lost to Atlanta, is favored by a point. I don't think I know what I'm seeing here. Denver, I guess they're playing back-to-backs. That's got to be what it is, but I'm taking Denver. They lost a tough one to Houston. I think they go on the road and beat Miami. Speaking of Atlanta, they are on the road in Toronto. Toronto is a 14.5 point favorite. It's probably right. Atlanta did win the other night. You got to give them credit. They're building, and the effort is there. But a road game in Toronto, no thank you. Give me Toronto, and I'll give the points. Minnesota at Oklahoma City. OKC favored by 8 in this game. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the bearings are going to look like in Minnesota without Tibbs. They did have a nice huge win against the Lakers the other night, but I think I'm going to take the Thunder fairly easily in this one. No line in the Sacramento at Phoenix game. Got to go with Sacramento, though. They just won one, tonight against Orlando. I know they're playing on back-to-backs and they're on the road, but Phoenix has not been playing very well. This is the 18-point game. Golden State favored by 18 at home against the Knicks. Yeah, I mean, that's probably about right. I don't know, though. I think I might take the Knicks and the points there, but maybe not. They're on back-to-backs. No, thank you. No, I'll take Golden State. And the last one is Charlotte at the Clippers. Clippers favored by 6.5. I would go with the Clip Show in that one. But that is everything I got for you guys today. I hope you have a great one. At Bogman Sports on Twitter for me, at NBA Sound System, at Is It The Welsh, at FNTSY Radio. Send the Welsh all kinds of well wishes. Hope he gets better soon. Have a great NBA day, everybody.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.